I've known Jonathan Nichols for several years now. Had the privilege of coming over and visiting the English program that you were running here in your church for a while, and then we started partnering together for Better English in Tacoma because we have several different locations where we offer free English services to people in the community who are English language learners, whether refugees or immigrants, international students, business visitors, whatnot. So during COVID, everything kind of shut down, and we went immediately to online, and it's been amazing to see how God has used just everything that happened with COVID to really expand and explode the ministry. One of those things is Discovery Bible Study. So it was something that I had heard of as I'd traveled to different mission conferences and heard about how God was using Discovery Bible Studies all over the world to really multiply his church in places where it was hard to go with an American passport. And so I had heard about this overseas many, many times, but had never seen it done here and was really curious, what would that look like here in the States? And so during COVID, in addition to offering online English classes for people, we also offered free Discovery Bible Studies. And most of the students, about 90% of the students who were interested in doing English, also signed up for Discovery Bible Study. So we have seen amazing things happen right here in the United States, not only among our students, but then I've conducted this training in many different settings, including some mission conferences. And we've heard reports of people who have taken the training and gone and asked a next-door neighbor or a family member or someone they knew at school who didn't know Jesus yet and wanted to read the Bible with them. And step by step, those folks are coming to know Christ. They're growing. They're inviting their family to come to the study as well. So it's been a really phenomenal ministry opportunity. I'd like to present it to you today for two reasons. Number one, there's the personal element of it. I started doing Discovery Bible Study on my own just so that I could see what it was like. And it really revolutionized my own relationship with God and the way that I read the Bible and how I'm growing and obeying God. And then the second thing is what it can do for whoever God has in your life, whether you're going to be involved with the ESL program here and working with international students, or whether God has someone else in your life or family that he'd like you to read the Bible with. So that's my general caveat, and then we're going to just dive right into it. Hopefully all of you got one of the handouts there and a pen, because I am a teacher, but I am not a lecturer. I make my students work. So hopefully you came ready to work today. I'm going to give a brief explanation of what Discovery Bible Study is. It is relatively simple, and it is easily reproducible. So you don't have to have a master's degree in anything to be able to do Discovery Bible Study. And that's the point. There's a lot of people that are fearful. Ooh, I couldn't lead a Bible study. I don't know as much as so-and-so, fill in the blank, right? But this is something that anybody can do. So here we go. If you have your study notes, the idea behind Discovery Bible Study is that each person is coming to the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit is teaching them what he has to say in the Word. Now, I know some of you are going to immediately like put your hackles up and get worried that there's going to be heresy going on, but stick with me, and because I had the same feelings when I first heard about it, okay? The idea is that we are reading the Word itself and that we're staying within the passage that we're reading. A lot of times, people who have been Christians for a while and who have studied a lot, maybe even gone to Bible college or seminary, they have lots of like rabbit trails they can go on and things that they can pull out from here and there. The difficulty is when you're reading with someone who either doesn't have a lot of experience reading the Bible, whether they're a believer or not, they can start looking at you as the authority or you as the teacher and then determine that they can't actually approach God's word for themselves. And so what we do in Discovery Bible Study is we level the playing ground because we're just sticking with the text of the Word of God. We're not talking about what our favorite theologians said or our favorite commentator said. Because if we invite someone else to come in and say what this says, someone else can invite someone else to come in and say what it says too, right? So we just want to stick with the text itself. So basically, we pick a text, we read the text, we read it again, and then someone in the group retells the text. This is not word for word. We're not seeing how good your memory is. We're really doing it so that we hear the word of God three times, and it's really stuck in our heads so that when we start making observations, we're not making observations about something that we didn't actually read. So you have one person in the group retell what they heard. It would be as if a 10-year-old just walked into the room and you were trying to explain to them the general idea of what you just read. So thought for thought, but not necessarily word for word. And then after that, the group, not this group, we're going to divide into smaller groups, the group will fill in, are there any missing details? Were there things that were said that were actually a little bit different than what the Word of God actually said? So we make sure, again, that we're just sticking with the text of the Word of God, okay? So four times, you read it again, you retell it, and then the group gets to fill in if there was anything that was missing or needs to be corrected. We're not nitpicking at this point. We're just getting, like, the general idea, okay? Then, these are the four questions. It's the same four questions every single time. You don't need a separate study book. Some people ask, like, what's the curriculum for Discovery Bible Study? It's God's Word. That's the curriculum. It's the same four questions each time. The first one is, what does this text say about God? And depending on the text, it could be Jesus talking, it could be God the Father, it could be the Holy Spirit. But what does this text say about God? And we observe what we see, okay? Again, we don't talk about things that we know from another book of the Bible. We don't talk about things that we think about God. We just look at this text and say, what does this text say about God? What do I notice about God from this text? The second one then is, what does this passage say about people? What do the humans in this passage do, and what is it saying about people? What do we need to do? How should we interact with God? Is God pleased when we do this or not? So we're looking at what are people doing. And then the third one is critical, and this is what takes it from a passive Bible study to an active one, where we're actually putting into practice what we're learning. This is the obedience part, and this is where overseas, as people are doing Discovery Bible Studies, they're actually, in the Muslim world, many, many people coming to faith without a formal pastor, even people who haven't known Jesus before, and they're together reading the Bible in this way, and the Holy Spirit is teaching them, and they're actually having obedience points and growing in their obedience to God and trusting Christ. So it's amazing to see. It's like a church setup, because it's not just me coming somewhere and listening and then going home and doing exactly what I did before. It's me coming and participating and then me obeying. Okay, and then the fourth one, also very important, is who else needs to hear this? So there's immediate replication, right? It's not just how much do I get out of it and how do I obey it personally, but who else needs to hear this? Is it a friend? Is it a family member? Is it my neighbor, my classmate? And it could be who needs to hear what I just learned this week. It could be who needs to hear the story that we just read today. It could be who can I invite to read the Bible with me in the same way that I just did with this group, okay? So, same four every time. The reason why this is really good is because as you meet with your group one or two or three times, then all of a sudden you can start asking other people in the group to be the facilitator. Because they're not a teacher, we're not asking who knows the most, right? We're asking people to facilitate, which is to go through this method just like this, where we read the text, we read it again, we retell it, and then the group shares if there is anything missing, and then we ask the same four questions. So I do this in my ESL group. I have a Discovery Bible Study with people from around the world. We do it online because some people are joining us from places like Ukraine and Italy. And it's been very interesting to watch. because not only is this in a second language for them, because this is in English, not their native tongue, but also many of them, whether they're believers or not, are newer to reading the Bible, even in their own language. And so the first time I asked who would like to facilitate, there was silence. But I encouraged them and told them, I'm not going to be the facilitator every time because you need to be able to know that you can do this too. And it's funny because one of the students that I had was from Puerto Rico, and she was not sure at all that she could even read the Bible, let alone be a facilitator. And I kept asking her bit by bit, like, okay, would you like to do this? And finally, she ended up doing it through fear and trepidation. But then I found out she was willing to do it with people who were very different from her, people who spoke a different language than she did. She was also willing to do it with her own family, and she was the younger sister in a family. And all of a sudden, they started looking at her as like a spiritual leader in the family because she was facilitating a Bible study. And she grew to love God's word and love him so much, you just can't shut her up. She's just telling everybody. So it's just, I could go on and on and on, but I'm going to stop for now and go down to the part where it says important reminders. The first one is we're facilitators, not teachers, okay? It needs to be reproducible because as soon as somebody sets you up as the authority, they're not going to do it with anybody else because they think they have to go to you, right? This is good in two ways because, number one, it helps other people be able to read the Bible, but number two, it helps those of you, of us, who are a little intimidated by studying the Bible with someone else, thinking we don't know enough, okay? But we are not the teacher. What I told to my Puerto Rican friend when she had someone who was very, like, argumentative and was going to say, no, Christianity is wrong, I said, you don't have to answer the questions. The text answers the questions. God's word answers the questions. If it doesn't answer her question, we don't know the answer yet. We'll keep reading and see what the word says. Okay, the second part is stick to the immediate text. We've talked about that before. Don't bring in other passages. Find out what God used this author to say to this audience for this purpose. And this is a very important question. You see on the third point there, where in the text do you see that? This is not meant to make people feel bad. This is meant for us to all come to the Word of God and see what the text says. So if I say, well, I think God is, and fill in the blank, and it's not actually in our text, anybody in the group can say, oh, where in the text do you see that? And you'll be amazed after you do it for a few weeks how many people will pipe up about that. And you know what? It's actually hardest for the mature believers in the group to stick to this because they're always wanting to grab something. Oh, that reminds me of this. And you, yes. Yeah, it's actually.
So then what else do you say? What are some other phrases you say besides that?
I think the main thing is that the group itself sees that, so it's never just me as the facilitator who says it. Anybody in the group can look and say, even in a confused way, right? Not a, like, where do you see that? But like, huh, where do you see that? Like, I want to see that, right? And then most people, when I do that, or someone else does it, they'll say, oh, yeah, I guess it isn't really there. That's usually the response that I get. Yeah. Yeah.
So we know that Jesus is God, but if you are doing this with someone who is not a Christian,
yeah,
and you ask, what does this passage say about God?
Yeah.
And it's like something in the New Testament, perhaps, and Jesus is a central person.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great question. So it kind of depends on your audience. For me, I had people who already, whether they were believers or not, they still believed that Jesus was divine in some way. So I didn't have a different starting point than that. For other people, you might want to divide it out. What does this say about God? What does this say about Jesus? And they're going to discover very quickly, especially if you're going through any of the Gospels, that Jesus says some things that's like, I wouldn't say that unless I were God, right? So they're going to be things that come out that they will recognize in the text. And of course, if the Holy Spirit is the teacher, he's going to help them make those connections too. Yeah, that's a very good point. Right, right. Actually, the interesting thing is I work with a lot of Muslims, and when I started doing Discovery Bible Study the first time, as I mentioned, I did it for myself. So I just read through the Gospel of John, doing Discovery Bible Study, writing my journal out, and I did it as if my Muslim friends were with me. And I thought about what would they notice from this text? Knowing what I know about my Muslim friends, what would they notice from this text? I tell you what, I have never read John that way before. And Jesus was so more amazing than he had been in my Christian experience, where I grew accustomed to things. Well, of course Jesus does this. Of course he does that. But for my Muslim friends, no, this would be a huge deal for them. So it really helped me as I connected with God through the text. Yeah. Yeah. But definitely to let the people in the group observe what they observe and not give away stuff that happens. I'm always doing this even with my group that are believers, because they'll say, oh yeah, and Jesus is going to do this. I'm like, oop, we don't know that yet, right? We're just in this text. We know the things that we studied the weeks before, so we can bring those in because we've already done it together, but we don't know. Like right now we're in Luke chapter 13, and they're talking about something that might be in Luke 15 or 16, and I'm like, oop, we're not there yet. This is what Jesus' disciples knew right then. Let's stick with the text and what Jesus was talking about to them. And they didn't know this yet. So let's see, like, how would you respond and what do you notice about people from just this text in this moment? Yeah.
Do you primarily stick with the Gospels when you
do this? Yeah, that's a great question. So there's different places that you can start. For me, I dove right in because I was stupid and I didn't know how long it would take to get through the Gospel of John. It took us 2 years doing this format because you do small chunks. It has to be small enough. Well, it has to be part of the whole text. You don't want to chop a story in half, right? But it has to be small enough that you can retell it and really own it as you're making your observations, right? So that's one way to do it. But I also have some resources about lists like Creation to Christ. So hitting some of the major redemptive stories throughout the Old Testament and New Testament. There's ones, if you ask somebody, would you like to read the Bible with me? And you know they're specifically struggling with parenting or marriage or hope. There's like, would you like to read the Bible with me for four times? And there's four stories you can read. And then once people do that, you can say, would you like to read again about something else? And you can do something longer. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's a whole, you know, raft of bad theology that comes from just looking at one passage, you know, outside of the context of what, you know, scripture said in other places. How do you deal with that with, like, difficult passages?
Yeah.
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. There's a concern that how do you just stick with one text when someone might misinterpret that text?
Yeah, in light of what scripture said in other places.
Right, right. Right, right. So I think part of that is being within the context. So for example, going through the gospel, if you're doing a whole book at a time, there are conclusions you can't come to if it's not in the text. I think that's where a lot of misinterpretation comes, is that we bring something else, our own ideas that aren't actually in the text, and we make it mean something it doesn't mean. So that's something that the questions help clarify. And I've said to my participants before, when they'll say, oh, what does this mean? I'll say, well, does the text tell us? Well, no, it doesn't. Okay, well, let's hang on to that question. We'll write it down, We'll keep reading. Maybe next week John will answer that question for us. So there are times when questions come up that aren't immediately answered in the text. I would say that's the bigger thing, because there's also heresy of people bringing in texts from other places, right, that don't actually have bearing on this. Because this letter, this book, was written to a particular person or people for a particular reason. And though the whole Word of God is from God and it is organic, there are different passages that were meant for different people for different reasons. And we can glean from those and understand them and apply them, but we have to understand what they were there for to begin with. Does that make sense? Were there other questions? I just started looking around. So far, so good? Yeah.
What's a typical group size?
That's a great question. My typical groups are 3 to 6. Six is probably on the larger side, and if it gets a little larger than that, I would actually ask for another kind of co-facilitator, because I do my groups on Zoom. So I'm always happy to have other people participate, but then I would do like a breakout room. So we might come together and read the text together, and then we'd do the breakout so that they'd have more opportunities to individually talk about what they're learning. And then we'd come back together to share those. Yeah. My particular group meets once a week. For people that you are inviting to read the Bible, it could be, you could just ask them once, would you like to read the Bible with me one time? See what they think, see if they'd like to do that. And then if they say yes, say, okay, would you like to read it again, or when could we meet again? Because for some people, they don't have that regular kind of schedule. I only do mine on Zoom currently, just because I work with the international community, so they travel, and some of my students are in Puyallup, Lakewood, different places in the world. It's not necessarily my recommendation. It definitely makes it easier for the people that I interact with regularly, especially thinking of Muslim friends and women who can't necessarily get out of the house always. It's an easy way to connect that way. I know that there are some that do meet in person. Some of those have been with fellow Americans, and whole families have said, oh, you know, can I invite my dad to come next time or my mom to come next time? So, there's this as a core method, and then there's you praying and asking God, what is it that you want me to do? Who do you want me to invite? What's the best place or whatever for us to meet? Is it a stranger I don't know that I'm just going to ask, or is it somebody that I do know that comes over all the time? So those would be more personal questions that you could ask God. What does he want you?
Mm-hmm. You mentioned Muslims, so is it gender specific?
No. Oh, sorry. What do you mean by gender? Yeah.
So is it gender specific? Is you just meet
Muslims? Yes. Yes and no. So I have guy friends who are Muslims. They're not part of a Discovery Bible study that I'm currently doing. If they did want to do that, I'd probably match them with a guy just because of, yeah.
And then just one last question.
When is
it age appropriate? Do you meet with
young people? Yes. So I have a daughter who is about to turn 10. And we have had some students from overseas who are part of our online ESL programs who have asked us, hey, do you have anything for my, you know, 8-year-old, 9-year-old, 10-year-old? And so the gal that kind of runs that for us asked me, hey, do you think your daughter would be interested in doing this? So my daughter actually started doing DBS with another girl in Indonesia and another girl from China. Where I am, that developed organically, yeah. It's actually started happening organically all over the place. I was on a vacation one time with another family from church, and they said, hey, you know, we heard you do this DBS thing, you know, could we just sit down and read the Bible together on our vacation? We're like sand, beaches, and they wanted to do that. So, and they were very excited about it and wanted to do it again the next day. So, you never know once you ask people. Did I see another hand over here? Doing good? Okay. Last few points, and then I'm going to make you do a little work. All right. If we have time. Do we have time? 10:20. We're doing okay. Number three, be a good listener. It's really easy if you are the person who knows a little bit more about the Bible or who've been reading it for a while to jump in and want to make like all the observations that you see, especially if there's a period of quiet. Don't do that. Pause, take a deep breath, allow time for people who may have never read the Bible before to actually look at it and discover things for themselves, okay? You'll actually be really amazed the things that they come up with from actually looking at the text. Don't skip any of the steps. The two that are most tempting to leave off, I mean, we're all like, oh yeah, let's observe, let's learn things, but the two we usually leave off is how am I gonna obey? You know, what should change in my life this week as a result? Because sometimes it doesn't look immediately obedient, I mean, apparent. But there might be something you discover about how Jesus talks to somebody that you think, wow, yeah, I usually just like rush in and do this, but boy, Jesus asks a lot of questions. Maybe I should learn to be a better question asker. Jesus, would you help me with that this week? So there might be different things that you take out of it as you're looking for ways to obey. And then the last one, who will I tell? Again, going back to my friend from Puerto Rico, I would ask her this question every single time, and every single time, it's during COVID, she said, Karen, I can't go anywhere. My grown daughters don't want me to leave the house. I'm stuck here. I don't see anybody. So I don't know how I can do this. I'm like, okay, but I'm just supposed to ask this question. So we're just going to keep asking this question, and we're going to be thinking about it, because if we ask the question, it's in our mind, right? Who am I going to tell? Who am I going to tell? Well, fast forward like 3 or 4 months, and my friend is telling me about her sister who calls her every week to get the story of the week, and they talk about it. And I said, you keep telling me that you don't have anybody to tell, but your sister's calling you. Like, you're doing a Discovery Bible study with your sister. She's like, oh, yeah, I guess so. Then next thing you know, she's telling me that her two grown daughters who don't live at home have purchased Gospels of John for themselves. She didn't even know that they were doing it. They did it, and they were doing Discovery Bible study and taking notes, and they had written all these notes in the margin. And it was just her influence, because she was bubbling over and sharing what she was learning. So sometimes this seems like a scary question, but don't leave it off, because then it's always in our minds. I may not know who God wants me to tell this week, but I'm going to have it in my mind. He wants me to tell somebody, because he always wants me to share his word with people, right? So who might that person be? I'll be thinking and praying about it. Okay. And then the last two steps here is that we take notes. So because I do it on Zoom, I do a share screen, and we have a Word document where I have all of these, and I just type out the notes as I go, and then I can send them to people at the end so they can see what our observations were and go back and reflect. They can see what our prayer requests were and go back and reflect. They can see our obedience points, so we can be praying for each other to obey in the ways that we felt the Spirit was leading us to do. And then lastly, a good way to, you know, we read the text 4 times because we read it twice, we retell it, and then the group fills in. But throughout the week, a really, really good way to get God's word into your heart is to listen to it. And so as a mom and a wife and a daughter, I have many places that I go every week, and I don't always have time to sit down for a glorious, you know, hour or two to study the scripture. But I always have my Bible app on, and I'm always listening to the passage of the week so that it's always fresh in my mind. And then it's helping me think and observe so that by the time that I get there the next week to read the text, like, it's very, very familiar to me. I encourage our ESL students to do that as well, because it's a great way for them to learn English, right? To just hear it over and over again. So I think sometimes we read something once and then we're like, I don't get it. But the more you can soak in it and marinate in it, especially if you're reading it within the whole chapter that it's in, it can really help as well. So, okay. Those are my main points. And now, if you flip over, I've given you one Bible story. It's from the New Living Translation, which is the translation I tend to use because of our ESL students. It tends to be an easier English format for them. And this is a story about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. So what I'd like for you to do in the next, we have till 10:45? Okay. very quickly, in the next 15-ish minutes, I'm going to have you do a discovery Bible study with the person or persons sitting around you. So you can do a group of two if that makes it faster for you, a group of three, whatever is most convenient and whatever won't kill your back turning from side to side. So read the text, reread the text. Somebody, without looking, try to just retell the text as if you're telling someone who just walked in, thought for thought, not word for word. Fill in any gaps. And then on the flip side, I've given you some lines that you can start making your observations. What does this passage say about God? What does it say about people? Okay, let's try it. So let's see if I can, thank you. All right, I know I'm a terrible, terrible person because I'm making you stop right now and you're like, what? I just got started. But I wanted to give a little bit of time for feedback, and hopefully you're so angry with me for stopping you that you'll continue this conversation beyond this class, right? So I would love to hear from you, and this is the part where everybody gets quiet because they were really busy talking in their small groups, and now I'm asking you to do it in front of a big group. But if you could appoint somebody from your group who might be okay with sharing with a bigger group, what are some of the things that you observed about God from this passage? And because I'm assuming that we are familiar with that Jesus is God, we can say Jesus too. So, yes. Yeah, isn't that interesting? Oh, yeah. She said that the people went away praising God instead of Jesus. Yeah, good. Let's do the God one first and then we'll come back. Yeah, but that is true, yes. Other observations about God? Or? Okay. Yeah. So, and that's interesting because that comes from outside of the text, right? Because you're trying to make connections that the text isn't making, right? So that's another good thing is that sometimes we have questions that the text doesn't even address. And again, I always tell the participants, hey, if you have a question the text doesn't address, great. Write it down, because we're going to keep reading the Bible, and maybe it'll address it later. Yeah.
I think the passage does show that Jesus is not infinite, if we didn't believe that already, because with the argument that the Pharisees have is only God can forgive sins, and Jesus' response isn't to dispute that, it's to forgive the sins and show them that he did forgive the sins.
Yeah. Yeah. He did something that the Pharisees said only God could do. Yeah, excellent. Yeah, good. Other observations? Oh, I got somebody pointing at you. You have an observation? Yeah. She's telling on you. Okay. Okay, so people were recognizing that it was God who healed. Jesus said it and did it, but they were praising God that he's the one that healed. Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah.
Jesus can perceive the questions.
Yeah. Isn't that cool? Jesus can perceive the questions in the hearts of the Pharisees, right? It doesn't say that the Pharisees said that to Jesus. They were thinking it, and Jesus knew what they were thinking. Good.
Jesus was not afraid to confront the Pharisees.
Jesus was not afraid to confront the Pharisees. Religious leaders, yeah.
Well, I was thinking about the graciousness of God, caring for people and healing. He heals a lot of people.
Yeah, yeah. The fact that there was a healing, right? He didn't have to do that. But he was very gracious in healing. Yeah. Great. Okay. How about for people? What do you notice for people? Okay, now I'm coming back to my gentleman in the back.
People are sinners.
Where in the text do you see that? Okay. Yeah, excellent. So you see how you tie it to something specific in the text? It's not just, oh, I think people are sinners, right? Or this guy did something that I think is a sin. No, there's something very specific in the text, right? Good.
We observed that the Pharisees were correct. Only God can forgive sins. They were correct in saying that. And Jesus says something that makes them very unsettled. And so we observed that when people encounter Jesus, you have to let him unsettle you. And it's okay to be unsettled by a, by something he, it doesn't fit what you thought the answer would be.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, the Pharisees said something that was true. Only God can forgive sins. And yet, Jesus interacted with them in a way that unsettled them. There was more to it than that. Yeah, excellent.
We observed that there were at least initially two kinds of people in this story. One of them being the Pharisees and the teachers of the law who were sitting and discussing among themselves. They aren't even discussing with Jesus.
Yeah.
But they're stymied. They, part of the reason they can't get to Jesus, it seems.
Well, the sitters. Yeah. Do you hear that? There are people who are sitting. The Pharisees and religious leaders are sitting and discussing, and they're not even interacting with Jesus. But then you have people who are doing. You have friends who are actually physically taking their friend, and they can't get there because of the people who are sitting and not even interacting with Jesus. Yeah, that's great.
The friends had faith that Jesus could heal their friend.
Yeah, the friends had faith that Jesus could heal.
And they went to great lengths to get that.
Yeah, they endured inconveniences. Yeah, excellent. Okay, one more. Yeah.
The people, they were curious people and hopeful people, but they were also skeptical.
Yeah. Curious, hopeful, and skeptical people. Yeah, different ones. Different people responded to Jesus in different ways. They saw the same thing, but they responded in different ways. Excellent. Okay, I don't know if any of you got to the obedience point, but lucky for you, I'm not going to make you share it because we have 1 minute left. So... But that's homework, because I'm a teacher, so I always make homework. So homework is take what your group observed and maybe even read through it again yourself at home and think about, okay, based on what I learned about Jesus, based on what I see about people, God, what is something that you want to change in my life this week? How should I be different this week? And don't stop there. Ask, who can I share this with? Maybe it's going home and saying, hey, there was this crazy lady in Sunday school who shared about this Bible study method. You want to hear about it? Or maybe it's, hey, you know what? There's this person I've really been wanting to talk with them about the Lord, but I'm not sure how it would come across, and I'm not sure if they're even interested, but maybe I could just ask them, would you like to read the Bible with me once? You'd be surprised what people will say. Try it. Yes, it is super easy. You walk up to someone and say, would you like to read the Bible with me? I do have a guidebook. I brought it today. It's purple, but you probably have a different color guidebook or even on here. Yeah, it's literally the same four questions. This is it. Because you're not the expert. They're not the expert. God is the expert. He gave us his word through his spirit. He's going to teach us. And can I be really bold and say he actually is more concerned with us obeying his word than we are? And so when we're in it with the intention of learning and actually putting it into practice and asking him, what does he want us to do? I promise you, he's faithful to help you do it. Yeah. Jonathan?
We'll have
There's also a sign-up sheet in the back. So if you're interested in learning more or just having me share it again or coming and doing a Discovery Bible study with you and your family or group just to do it once in person and see how it goes, I'm totally happy to do that. I have cards I'll put back there too with my contact information for additional, and then also additional digital resources. Thank you. Because I have a lot of handouts that are helpful for explaining the process, like why we do it this way and what the purpose of this particular thing is. So I'm happy to send digital resources to you that, especially for those of you who are like, I'm a little skeptical. I was too, just to let you know. Yes. Yes. I do. I have digital resources. I have a few that I brought with me that I'll put on the table, but when they're gone, if you sign up, I'll do digital resources. Yeah. So if you put your name and print your email very clearly so that I can read it, I will send those to you. And if you want to put a note like what you actually want, like please come talk to me about DBS or send me some resources. But I'll email you either way and say, hi, it's me. What can I do to help? So can I pray for us before we go? God, I am so grateful. I'm grateful for the people in this room, that you gathered them here for your purposes, that you have us on planet Earth for your purposes. It's not for us to sit, as we saw with the Pharisees. It's for us to come to you, to be active, to be participating in your kingdom work. And we are so grateful, Lord, that you have revealed yourself through your word. We're grateful that you've revealed yourself through the creation that we see around us. And we are especially grateful, Lord, that you've revealed yourself through Jesus Christ, coming, dying, and rising again, that we might have new life with you. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about the things that you are passionate about. Help us to consider the people in our lives that you would have us share your very, very good news with. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.